Elder Julio at the park. But before I call her up, I want to share something with you. You know, you may have heard, right, earlier in the week, I discovered that I had an infection in my left eye. It was so bad, I really thought I would lose my vision on this eye. It was that bad. They were saying on the internet, because that's what we do, right, when we encounter some sort of illness or something that seems like not going right in our life, we tend to go to the internet and try to look for answers. And I remember the internet was saying, yeah, if you got this kind of condition, you got this kind of symptoms, there's possibility of permanent loss of vision. I go, and I was like, you know, getting a little worried, a little anxious. But anyway, what happened was I went to the doctor on Wednesday, and because I discovered, I put my contact on, and hey, the contact, like, lost all its power. I couldn't see anything, even with the contact on. I was like, oh, you know, so I was getting kind of worried. So Johnny said, go to the doctor. So anyway, to make a long story short, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said I have to put these drops in my eye every hour, okay? Even, yeah, during the night. That means pretty much no sleep, right? Because you got to do it every single hour. So I just want to share this with you. You know, John Lee told me, he said, Ben, I'm going to stay up with you the whole night. I said, no, you don't need to. I'm going to sleep in the living room. You go ahead. You can just rest in the bedroom, and I'll be okay. And she insisted. I said, no, I'm going to stay up with you. I'm going, you know, so anyway, you know John Lee, right? When she has her mind set on something, hey, she says she's going to do it. She's going to do it. Okay, so I slept on one couch. She slept on another couch. Every hour, I would set the alarm. And so we went to bed around maybe after midnight, 12:30 or so. So I set it for like 1 o'clock, and because I just did it at 12, right? So and so I woke up, and John says, Ben, you're up. I said, yeah, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, half awake and stuff. But, you know, I put it on, you know, and she said, want me to help you? I said, no, I can do it. So, you know, she let me do it, and then I set alarm for 2, then 3, and then you know what? Every time, she would get up before I would get up, right? Because the medicine is in the refrigerator. So that's why we had to sleep in the living room. So anyway, what happened was she would get it, and she said, Ben, don't need to move. I'm right here. And she would go like that, and she put that drop in my – and there's 2 drops, 2 different bottles. But why am I telling this? Well, she did it all the way through the night, up to 7 o'clock. And she would get up before me. I'm thinking, wow. And I remember I telling my children this, right? I said, yeah, you realize mommy stayed up with me all night? And I remember my son looked at me, but why, Dad? Why did she have to do that? I said, well, son, it's because the very fact she loves me. And, you know, I want you to see this as an example. You want to find a wife that loves you this much as God loves you. And you want to love her the same way. That's the answer I gave to him. But you know that scripture that comes to mind is Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 18:22, which says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and obtains favor from the Lord. Can I hear a shout of amen, guys? And we know that's the truth, right? And you know, vice versa too. I really believe God puts us together for a reason where God knows, you know, who that person is for us that will really help us to grow in our faith and help us to become more like Jesus. Amen. I just want to share that with you because, hey, that was something I saw that and I go, oh, I'm so glad that God has blessed me with her. Okay, now I'd like to call John Lee to come on up here. And then as we pray for her, I know she has a powerful message to share. She's looking at me like, what are you talking about? All right, so let's stretch a hand towards her. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for John Lee. And as she speaks forth your word, I pray your words will just come alive, Father. Let it touch so deep in our hearts, Lord. Let your word just penetrate, Lord, right into our hearts, right into our minds. And as we receive your word, I pray, Lord, your word will transform us. We're going to take it. We're going to receive it. And Father, we know we're going to be transformed into the very image of Christ as we let your word just come so strongly upon our lives. Father, we give this time all unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. You got the mic?
Heavenly Father, we just pray for you to open our eyes, our hearts, and our spirit to receive your word. And we expect, Lord God, your presence here, and we welcome you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anyway, I want to just share, when I was sitting in the back, God told me, go look down. And when I looked down, I found this. And I'm like, yeah, it's a penny. He said, pick it up. And he said, read it. I said, I know what it is. It's a penny, 1 cent. He said, read it. And it says, in God we trust. So whenever you see a penny, don't just ignore it. Pick it up. It's a reminder from God that we are to trust in him at all times. So Ben took part of what I was going to share today, because the title of our lesson today is, what do you see? The last time was, what did you say? So how important are our eyes? And Ben probably knew that, and we all realize that. You know, sometimes you don't realize how important something is until you have that potential of losing something. So imagine, he woke up one day thinking, you know, I'm just going to put on my contacts, and I'm going to be able to go back to my normal routine. And guess what? He came in the room, he went to the bathroom, put on his contacts, and came out, and he said he cannot see anything. And then when I look at his eye, I saw some cloudiness, and I panicked, and I made him panic, because I'm like, there's something, white stuff in your eye. He's like, he had to walk away, because he didn't want to be more nervous than what he already was feeling that time. But I thank God his eyes are being restored. It's a miracle that it is. So I just want to share, when I was in grade school, one day our teacher decided she's going to give a pop quiz. And those times, you know, we have to copy the questions from the blackboard, right? So they use the chalk. And so I'm right in the middle of the classroom. But when I was copying the questions, I realized this is so easy. And then I finished much, much earlier than everyone else. And by the time they finish, I'm looking at everyone, why are they struggling with answering the questions? So the teacher went through the questions one by one and gave the answer, and I got every single one wrong. You know why? I thought, you know, the division symbol, I thought it was a plus. It was actually a division, and then I just added everything, but it was all wrong. And the teacher came up to me and said, something's wrong with your eyes. You gotta go get it checked. That was the start of me wearing glasses. So how important is having good vision? I'm sure everyone who has a driver's license realize you cannot renew your license unless you pass the dreaded eye test. When you're young, it's okay. You have no problem, you know. You read the line, no problem. But as you get older and older, whether you wear corrective lenses, you have glasses, it's still a struggle. And I just realized that recently with my father trying to renew his license. They will not pass you. They will not renew your license unless you pass the eye test. So our eyes are very important to our bodies. In the olden times, we used to use cameras that are with a film, and then we focus, and there's like a little knob that you kind of move around to adjust the lens. Imagine, it takes a while for you to get the actual picture, because you put it by the film, you put in the flash, and then you have to take that after the film to get developed. And that's when you realize, am I getting a good quality picture, or is all gonna be blurry? So it's similar with our brain. You know, sometimes our focus is distorted. When your focus is distorted, the pictures also come out blurry or distorted. So what causes us to have distorted vision? Number one, it says Satan can distort our image. Satan knows how important our eyes are. So what did he do when Adam and Eve, they're living in the paradise, Garden of Eden? What did he do? He said to Eve, he says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So what happened here? Before that, they had no fear. They were all naked. They didn't realize that, you know, that wasn't right. But Satan distorted their vision by giving them lies. So the lies actually created that distortion. Number two, it says, you can distort your image with a critical eye. Luke 11:34, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Now, recently, Ben has a friend who, and I guess most of us here had prayed for him, found out there's a tumor in his brain. And he said after the surgery, it went very well. That tumor was the size of a grapefruit. And he said it was almost like a third brain. So when they took out that size of tumor, his vision improved. So imagine having pressure actually affects your eyesight too. And Ben can attest to it, having one bad eye, when he stands and he walks, he's out of balance. So he has to sometimes wear an eye patch just to keep focus. So it says here in Luke 6:41 to 42, why do you look at the speck of your in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. He says, some Christians see themselves or even other people with a critical eye. Their self-image has been distorted either by condemnation of the devil or they have been deceived by their own imagination. They start thinking negatively and they believe negatively, and they start talking negatively and act negatively. He says, they will be crippled for life unless they find knowledge and truth, for it is knowledge and truth that sets man free. And there's only one way to find that truth. It is through the word of God. When the knowledge of truth is received, then we must become doer of the truth. By doing what the word says and thinking as God thinks and seeing yourself as God sees you, you will allow God's word to build your self-image. Next one is, you can distort your image through wrong thinking. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 5, it says that we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that comes against God's knowledge. What does it mean to cast down? You have to reject it. You have to capture every thought that is in contrast or the opposite of what God's word says. He says, get rid of it and do not be held bondage anymore. Your imagination creates pictures inside of you, so you have to cast out all the imagination that is not in line with the word of God. Because once you imagine things in your brain, in your thoughts, you start talking that way. And that whatever you say, you start acting. So you will be a perfect image of your thought in your mind, whether negatively or positively. Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Next one is, you can distort your image by looking at the wrong things. Have you been to a carnival where they have those mirrors that kind of distorts your image? Imagine, you go in front, whatever you put in front, it becomes distorted, whether it's sometimes you put your arm, you know, you put your leg, you put your head. So you can adjust it to reflect whatever is in the mirror, but whatever you put in front becomes distorted. It's not that you are what it appears, but it's the reflection is distorted. So you have to be careful what you put in front of you. It says in Psalm 119:37, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Matthew 18:9, it says, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell's fire." What does it mean to pluck out your eyes? Whatever is causing you to stumble, whatever is causing you to fall, cut it down. You know, it could be the TV, it could be your iPhone, it could be your internet, it could be your Netflix, it could be your romance novel, whatever it is, take it out, throw it away. It's not worth having all of those, and yet it, you know, it might affect your salvation. Question is, what is a 2020 vision? The definition is, it is a term used to express normal visual acuity, the clarity or sharpness of the vision. It is measured at the distance of 20 feet. If you have 20/20 vision, you can see clearly at 20 feet what should normally be seen at that distance. So a lot of people, you know, they might not need glasses because they say, oh, I have 20/20 vision. But is there such a thing as better than 20/20 vision? Actually, they said, yes, it is possible to have a sharper than 20/20 vision. In fact, he said, most of the young people, they're young, they have healthy eyes, they are capable of identifying at least some of the letters on the 10 and 15 line, or even smaller letters on the, they call it the Snellen chart. He said, this may be due to the part of better printing methods. You know, what you're looking at is become more clear, more crisp, better quality ink, better quality paper, whatever it is, than versus those in the 19th century. So before, it same amount of size, but you know, it's not as good quality ink, so we cannot see better than that. So in Psalm 119:18, it says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Psalm 146:8 also says, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those that are bowed down, and the Lord loves the righteous." So is there something even better than 20/20 vision? The Bible says we can have perfect vision. That's even better than 20/20, right? God says in his word, we are created in the image of God. When God created man in his own image, it says in Genesis 1:27-28, it says, "In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What does all mean? All means everything. All in the realm of the spirit. When you become born again, do you still have the same hair? You still have the same smile, the same size shoe? But you say, "Lord, you said all things are new. How come I still look the same? You know, I still have the same imperfections." But God says our spirit has been changed. We are no longer sinners that are saved by grace. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are filled with the knowledge of God's will. But there's one condition. You don't automatically know the Bible as soon as you become born again. He says you have to study the word of God. He says we have the greater one within us, and we are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Only if we believe the word. For we are new creations in Christ. A lot of people say, oh, I have been born again. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But they still do the same thing over and over because they said they were saved. They are sinners saved by grace. If you believe that you're still a sinner, you're like a dog returning to your vomit. That's what it says. You keep repeating the same sin again. But God says we are new creation. We are no longer sinners. He said we see ourselves differently because we have a new spirit in us. God said, let us create man in our image. Who is we? Who is our? Or who is us? It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So man is such an exact duplication of God. So it's hard to believe or to receive it unless you understand, you know, who God is. And how do you know God? You have to learn about God. So there is also a fine line between truth and error, because people might say, oh, we are in the image of God, so we are God then. We are like God. It says, no, we are not like, we are not, we can never become God. But we, it says, the body of Christ will fulfill God's purpose in the earth when they understand this truth and begin to act as though it were true. He says, we will never be God, but we are to take dominion over our circumstances, situations of this earth, through the power of God, through the anointing of Christ, being in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of Godhead dwells in the body of Christ. John 14:23, it says, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So what is the condition here? You can only love God if you keep his word. That's the only time they will come and dwell in you. So the word of God builds an image of why you are and who you are in Christ. We have no righteousness in ourselves, but only in Jesus. John 17:23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So did you know that God's word says that we can be made perfect in Christ? When God looks at you, he does not see your impurities. He does not see your past. He sees Christ in you. But it is our responsibility to confess our sins when we make a mistake. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There is no exception. We are forgiven. God sees you through God as being pure. This is the way we become perfect. Christians are not perfect, but are forgiven, but God sees us perfect when he sees the image that he created us. You become what you behold. What does that mean? Whatever you see in front of you, you start reflecting and you become like that, whatever you're watching or whatever you're looking at. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Everyone knows who Helen Keller is, right? Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. So a lot of people walk around. They have eyes to see, but they have no vision. They have no hope. They have no plans. They have no future because they don't have the word of God in them to direct them. What do you behold before your eyes? In Genesis 30:37, we know about the story of Jacob and Laban, when he wanted to marry Rachel. And by the time he was ready to leave, God told him to take his wives and take everything with him. But he had nothing. So he went up to his brother-in-law and says, Jacob, he wanted to ask him for his cattle, you know, whatever, animals. But God gave him a dream and says, you are to take all the speckles and all the blemish animals. But there's nothing that's blemished. All the animals are spotless. So what did he do? He said, Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar. It's like a tree, you know, a branch of a tree. And of almond and chestnut trees, he peeled white strips in them, exposed the white which was in the rods, and the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks. So as the animals would drink water, they see all these pieces of wood with stripes, and in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. So Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, but he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. So imagine all of a sudden these animals that were spotless start becoming, as they're born, they start having streaks, having spots. Because why? Just the fact that they are keeping their eyes in front of all these wood that has speckles and spots and streaks. So it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they may conceive among the rods. But when flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Can you imagine that? Just by what you put in front of you, it becomes a reality. So let's talk about having a perfect vision. What are the steps to having a perfect vision? Number one, we have to read the Word of God. Deuteronomy 11:18, it says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." What does that mean? Bind them as frontlets. I haven't seen one, but I know in the Jewish culture, they have little booklets that they actually literally put on their foreheads. And it's a reminder that God's word should always be in front of your eyes. You should always have the word of God like a filter, almost like a sunglasses. You see through the word of God. Proverbs 6:23, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproof of instructions are the way of life." Next, we have to write down the word of God. Imagine if for thousands of years, no one wrote the word of God down. It was never written. It was just an oral tradition that we pass on. Have you ever played that game that, you know, there's a line of people and then you say a word or you say a story and see how it got distorted at the end? It by the time that sentence is spoken, when it reaches to the last person, it's totally different. So God says in Habakkuk 2:2, "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." Jeremiah 32, it says, "Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you." So make it a habit. They say, as soon as you think it, you ink it. As soon as a thought comes to you or you hear a sermon, you hear a word, take down notes. But don't just take down notes and put it away. You keep looking at it. You know, you review it. You meditate on it. What did Jesus say when he was tempted at the desert? He said, "It is written." When Satan started to, you know, tempt him and give him all these, you know, challenges that, oh, do this, and Jesus, one after the other, he said, "Turn these stones into bread." He said, "It is written." So imagine when you write down what God said to you, during times when Satan comes, he starts tempting you, he starts questioning, just like Eve, "Did God really say this?" You can go back and say, "It is written." You know, that's the most powerful weapon you could ever have. We cannot rely on our memory because we tend to forget things, and we get to, you know, you can get confused. You can totally just, they said a thought can just evaporate. If you don't meditate on it, you don't think about it, it can just evaporate and disappear. So write everything down. The next step, you have to speak the word of God. Exodus 19:6, it says, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." There's no benefit to just knowing it in your brain. You have to start speaking the word. When you speak the word, things happen. Just like God, when he created, he spoke and things happen. So always speak up, even if you're praying. You know, make it a habit to read out loud. You know, when you are doing your daily devotion, speak up the word. Speak out the word. Then next is believe and live the word of God. James 1:22-26. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." He says, by getting into the word of God, you can see yourself the way God sees you. He does not see you as who you are now. He said he sees you as who you will be after the word does a work in you. God calls things that are not as though they were until they are. So same thing with you. You might be having pain and you just say, "Thank you, Lord, I am healed." But you're still having pain. Do you stop thanking God? You just say, "I am healed, I am healed." You know, until you get to that point that you're healed, you start speaking the word. When you say, "I have the mind of Christ," but you're still forgetful, you don't have the ability to learn, but you just say, "I have the mind of God, I have the mind of God." As you keep saying it, it will manifest in your natural. James described the person who is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He said, he is like a man who hears who he is, but he does not speak his faith and never establishes that image within himself. He walks away from the word with joy, but when the circumstances of life slaps him in the face, he says, "Why does this happen to me? Why me, Lord?" You know, you start grumbling, you start griping, you start talking negative. So he forgets what kind of man he is, what God's word says he is. While he's reading God's word and the word is before his eyes, he would have all these, you know, "Oh, glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord." As soon as he walks away from church or leaves the prayer meeting, he forgets what he heard, and because he did not establish that image by confessing the word and acting on it. So you notice when you're at church, it's so easy to have faith. It's so easy to believe in your healing. It's so easy to think positive. You have all these thoughts in your mind that, you know, "Wow, I'm going to implement this as soon as I leave." But once you leave, what happens? Satan steals it. Why did he do that? Because once you hear it, you go home, you forget about it. And so Satan just stole that image that was built. And if you keep on staying in the word, you will establish it and it will happen. So the image that God puts in his word is the image that you should have of yourself. You must have that image of God if you expect yourself to fulfill his design for you in his kingdom. You cannot go around seeing yourself the way the devil sees says who you are and still fulfill the purpose of God in your life. So one way that we do it is to act upon the word and to live it out. So lastly, I would just want to ask you, isn't it time to have your eyes checked? What would you rather have? Would you rather have a 20/20 vision or a perfect vision? If you want a perfect vision, you see yourself as God, as who God sees you are, and you have to believe what God says about you. Thank you.
Okay. I think we have a video to show.
Down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 I've been here a million times, a couple million eyes, just moving past me by. I swear I never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes. Give me your eyes so I can see for everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart for the broken hearted. Give me your heart, Lord, give me your eyes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Praise God. And we got to realize something, you know, when we ask God to give me your eyes, you know, we ask the Lord to have our eyes see what he sees. We're talking about seeing what's in the spiritual realm, where we know people are hurting. People need to know who Jesus is, because we are in a world where people, they're getting desperate. People are wondering, hey, is it ever going to get better? And we got to introduce them to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we have this kind of vision, guess what? We're going to have perfect vision. Because wherever you go, you're going to see exactly what God wants you to see. Amen? And you're going to reach out. You're going to touch other people's lives. And there's one more thing I want you to really get here. You know, the very fact is that the only way we're going to have this perfect vision is we got to be in the Word. Amen? You know, when I went to see the doctor on Wednesday, I remember the first thing she told me, she said, you know, Ben, we can knock out this ulcer. You know, we're going to knock it out. That's what the word she used. I like that. You know, we're going to knock it out. But you're going to have to use this antibiotic, these two vials of antibiotic liquid that will knock it out. But you got to use it around the clock, though. You know, she told me, that means, I said, even during the night when I'm supposed to be sleeping, she said, yeah, you got to do it around the clock. And the whole thing about this was, she said, when you do this, yeah, this is powerful, powerful antibiotics. Yeah, it costs $130. Insurance doesn't cover it for two little vials. But it says, yeah, people use it, you know, they get healed from this. But the whole thing about this is I was thinking about that, and I realized, you know, there's that song, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And I think that should be the cry of our hearts, realizing that we should be always communing with God. Whatever opportunity, you know, is it possible to be always praying, always thinking of God? Well, every opportunity you think about Jesus, hey, just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. Don't make it too complicated. But the very fact is, just like how I need to administer those drops in my eyes, we got to administer the word of God to our lives. Amen. We got to make sure we're living, we're breathing the word of God. We're going to make sure that when we say we need Jesus, it's evident in our lives. Like John Lee says, there's some things we might have to give up. I know there's some things I need to give up. There's some things I got to do more of to please the Lord. But the very fact is the Holy Spirit will speak it into you. And when you get this kind of desire where you're saying, Lord, I want to administer more of you in my life, guess what happens? God will come. And you're going to see what God sees. Amen. And you're going to look even upon your own life and you realize, man, there's some things I need to really improve in the way I get closer to God. Because there's sometimes, right, we know we push the Bible away. Sometimes we look at things we're not supposed to be looking at. And we're going to say, Lord, I want to draw closer to you. Lord, help me to administer more of your presence in my life. Let it be continual. Let it be around the clock so that you truly will see all that Jesus wants you to see. Amen? Why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken through John Ali. And Father, we truly want to see Jesus. That we want to see the very things, Lord, that touches your heart. So much so, as it touches your heart, it will touch our heart too, because we know the word of God, because we know of your presence, that the very things that we know you want us to be sensitive about, Lord, it will come, that we truly will see the things that touches your heart. And we're going to be willing to touch other people's lives. We're going to be willing to say, Lord, whatever you ask. And Father, right now, with all my brothers and sisters here, and including myself, if there's anything right now that you know that may be clouding your vision, anything that may have been diverting you from getting closer and closer to God, if you know there's something that is causing you to not get closer to Jesus, let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now and say, Lord, I hear your voice, and I truly want to have perfect vision as you are perfect, Lord. And if this is your heart's desire, you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to surrender all of me to you, Lord. Do whatever it takes so that I can have this kind of perfect vision. And if this is the cry of your heart right now, saying, Lord, that's me. I desire to have that kind of vision that you desire for me. If this is the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand and say, that's me right now, saying, Lord, help me to see clearly the things you want me to see. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those very hands saying, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you, Lord. And as this is the cry of our heart, ask God to fill you up. Let there be an overflowing of his power and his presence in your life so that as you go out in the world, you're going to see what Jesus sees. Father, let there be great light in my brothers and sisters' lives as they see, Lord, the very things you see. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with his son Jesus. What must I do? How to get started in something like this? You can start off by praying this simple prayer. Let it come straight from your heart. If you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, don't fight it anymore. Say, yes, Lord, I want to come on board. I want to come and live my life for you. And if this is your heart, you're saying yes to Jesus, can you simply raise your hand and say, Lord, I give of my life to you. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying yes to Jesus? Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Pray from your heart. Let's pray together as a family as we profess what we believe about our Lord God, about our Lord Jesus Christ. Say these words. Say, Father God, I need you, and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. And I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil will know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. Father God, I thank you, for you have written my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. I give you all the praises. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's